The Comforting Doctrine of God's Sovereignty from Selected Psalms. This is an exposition of Psalm 93. This message by Pastor Rod Harris was delivered at Trinity Baptist Church on Wednesday evening, March the 21st, 2018.
I know that there are thrill seekers and daredevils, you know, those folks that like to live on the edge. Those folks who like to do dangerous things, I'm not one of them. That is not my thing. Years ago, I was in Chicago for a pastor's conference at Moody Bible Institute, and we had taken an afternoon to do some sightseeing, and we went to the Sears Tower, and I was with Paul Cook, and he said, "You got to go up to the top and see the observation." So we did, and while we were up there, he said, "You know, if you actually come over here to the edge, you can see everything." And I said, I can see everything from here. I'm just fine. My first ride-along after I became a chaplain with the police department, we were out late at night in an area of town that was a little unsavory. And the officer, we pulled up on a call, and he said, "Now, if this call goes bad, see this strap right here?" And I said, "Yeah." He says, "Pull it. There's a 12-gauge. Pull it out. It's loaded and ready to go." I said, "Officer, if something happens, I'm probably just going to soil my clothing. I'm not a daredevil. If I go to a restaurant, I don't even like to order something different on the menu. I'll probably get the same thing because I just like things when I know what to expect and I know what's coming. That's why when I watch the news, I think I don't like what I'm seeing. All of the unrest, all of the threats, I read or listen to the news and I hear about shootings and bombings and all the unrest in the Middle East and other places around the world. When I think about the economy going up and down and the threat of North Korea, and add to that just the crisis we all face on a daily basis, that thing that comes at us from out of nowhere, the thing that we have no control over, the just problems we have in everyday relationships and problems at work. And what do you remember? The TV show Monk. Do you remember the theme song? "It's a Jungle Out There." And one of the lines of the song, of the theme song, is, "If you paid attention, you'd be worried too." Well, that's what the world is like. The world is a world of unrest. The world is a place where the unexpected happens. If you look at the world and your focus is there, there's that part of you that says, how do you maintain your sanity in the midst of this? How do you keep going? How do you stay focused and faithful to the task assigned in a world that is constantly changing? The answer is found in the 93rd Psalm. It's a brief psalm. It's only five verses. It's the first of eight that focuses in on the kingly reign of God. The watchword throughout the next eight psalms is the phrase, "The Lord reigns." They speak of a theocracy, of the rule of God. The thing that I want you to focus on as you think about this psalm, but also think about the next few, is that it's talking about the reign of God, not over Israel, but over all the earth. As the biblical writer is thinking about God's sovereignty, God's rule, God's power, God's authority, it's not just over His people, it's over all the earth. Because the God of the Bible is no tribal deity. He's not just the God of Israel, He's the God of all the earth. He is the creator of everything that exists. He is sovereign over everything. And therein is our comfort. The fact that He's sovereign, the fact that He rules, the fact that He reigns over everything. That's what gives us comfort and peace. As we explore this psalm, here's what I want us to go away with. This is what I want us to walk away understanding from this psalm. In a world of uncertainty, conflict, and instability, we find our peace of mind and peace of heart in the precious truth of the sovereignty of God. The world is unstable. There are all kinds of things coming up constantly There is uncertainty for us. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. There's all kinds of conflict. It's important to note in that context that the doctrine of the sovereignty of God is not just good theology, tucked away in a dusty theological textbook. To say that God is sovereign is not just some trite saying. It's not just a polite platitude. It is a precious, wonderful, living, vibrant truth that meets us in the routine of life and brings comfort to our troubled souls. The doctrine of the sovereignty of God is that precious truth that when all hell breaks loose is able to bring peace of mind and peace of heart. We rest in the truth of the sovereignty of God. H.C. Leopold says of the 93rd Psalm, "It is mighty in its utterance, colorful in its language, and a strong incentive to faith." Keep that in mind as we look at the three stanzas. First of all, note God's sovereign reign over all. That's in the first two verses. The Lord reigns. He's robed in majesty. The Lord is robed. He has put on strength as his belt. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. The psalm opens with this statement that the Lord reigns. What's interesting is in the Hebrew, the opening phrase is simply Yahweh reigns. Yahweh king. It's a simple statement that God is king and there are no limits placed on it. And as you look at the rest of this psalm and as you look at the following psalms, there are no limits placed on the sovereignty, the power, the rule of God because there is no limit to it. He rules. He reigns. He is king. It's not about his reign over Israel. And it's not about his reign, his sovereignty, his lordship over those who allow him to be. That's critical. And it is especially critical in our day. Because we hear people use the language that you should make Jesus Lord. You should allow God to be Lord. You don't allow him to be Lord. He is. He is sovereign. Whether you ever let him, whether you ever acknowledge it or not, the message of the psalmist is God reigns, period. There's no question of that. He's not waiting for your permission. He isn't waiting for you to allow him. He isn't standing before us hat in hand hoping that we'll allow him to rule in our lives. He is king. And we neglect that or ignore that to our own peril. There is no limit. But also made clear in these opening verses is the fact that his character distinguishes his reign. Who he is, the essence of his being, gives weight to his reign. There are four attributes in these first two verses. First of all, is the majesty of God. Yahweh King, or the Lord reigns. He, God, Yahweh, the covenant God, the God that has revealed himself to us, he is robed in majesty. What is majesty? It's not easy to define. Trying to precisely define majesty, it's one of those things hard to define, but you know it when you see it. It's hard to define, but there's no question when you encounter it. It has to do with dignity and authority and stateliness and grandeur, but it's really hard to just give a succinct definition of majesty. I can tell you this. Earthly monarchs spend an awful lot of time and energy trying to prove to the world they are majestic. And they do so through thrones and crowns and jewels and furs and all kinds of trapping. In the ancient world, we know that's true, but it's true in the modern world as well. Surrounding themselves by emblems of power and authority to try to project an image. But when we talk about God and His majesty, He doesn't have to go to those lengths because He simply is majestic. He cannot be majestic. Cannot not be majestic. That's just who He is. It goes with the definition of what it means to be God by His very nature. And you know that. You've seen it in Scripture. For instance, in Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above Him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two He covered His face, with two He covered His feet, and with two He flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of Him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah went to the temple to worship. He didn't have anywhere else to turn. Uzziah had been king for so long. He's the only king that most of the people had ever known. And now he's taken away. And what are they supposed to do? And he's given this grand and glorious vision that God was still firmly seated on His throne. The world isn't coming apart. The world isn't failing. God's still right where He's always been, calmly seated on His throne. And the imagery is that of someone who has vast power. His robe, the length of the robe, symbolizes the extent of His power, His authority. And the language is that His robe filled the temple. And if you study the size of the temple, it's enormous. And the image is His robe is folded back over it again and again and again till it literally fills the entire space. There's no end to His reign. He is majestic. What do you remember Isaiah's response to this vision? "Woe is me. I'm undone. Woe is me." Literally, he said, "I'm falling apart. I'm coming apart at the seams," as he encountered the majesty of God. Or you might remember Exodus 33. That's that story of Moses being alone with God. And Moses says, "Lord, I've gained Your favor, right?" The Lord says, "Yes, You found favor." And he said, "Well, show me Your glory." You remember that? And the Lord says, "Well, now here's the thing. I'll show you, but no man can see My face and live." In other words, human beings cannot survive an encounter with God in His full majesty. So come stand here, and as I pass by, I'll cover you with My hand and push you into the cleft of the rock. And when I get past you, I'll remove and you can see My backside. You'll just see the after effect of My glory. And that's going to overwhelm you. God is majestic. It's who He is. And part of our comfort, part of our peace in the midst of all the uncertainty, when words going around that the company is selling and we're not sure what's going to happen to us, when we're uncertain about a relationship, when we're uncertain about our kids and their future, in the midst of all that, our comfort is that we have a God who is sovereign and who is majestic and glorious. And He's above and beyond all of those things that threaten us. Not only is He majestic, but He is a God of power. The Lord is robed with majesty. The Lord is robed. He has put on strength as His belt. The point here is that God's sovereignty is not merely a show of sovereignty. He's not bluffing. He has the power to back up His sovereignty. He's put strength on or power on as a belt. This one who created all things, in Him all things hold together. No one ever comes to power. No one ever reaches authority in this world without His knowledge and permission. He is in control of the kings of the earth as He is in control of all things. He is majestic and He is powerful. Another attribute, He is immutable. That is, He does not change. Yes, the world is established and shall never be moved. God is unchanging. Everything in our world is changing. Creation is changing. There is perpetual change. But God never changes. He doesn't get better with age. And He doesn't decline with age. He is immutable. He is unchangeable. And there is our comfort. For He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The fourth attribute is related to that. He is eternal. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. He is Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Lord God Almighty who was, who is, and who is to come. Now, when you consider those two things together, His immutability, that He does not change, and that He is eternal, it tells us at least two things. One, God can be trusted to remain as He has revealed Himself to be. God says in the Old Testament, this is who I am. God says in the New Testament, this is who I am. And it's the same message. And He is the same today as He was then. And He will be the same in the future as He is now and as He has always been. That's one truth. The second truth related to it is that He is inescapable. We will one day stand before Him and give account. I've said this before, but the doctrine of the sovereignty of God is encouraging and frightening at the same time. The idea that He never changes is great comfort and fearful. Because what it means is we cannot escape Him. We will stand before Him, and His standards don't change. We're not going to get there and say, you know, God's really softened up over the years. My kids look at me and the way I respond to my grandkids, and they say, who are you and what did you do with our dad? Because standards have changed in the way I deal with certain things when it's my grandkids. God doesn't do that. His standards are the same. He is who He has always been. And it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. He is majestic, powerful, unchanging, and eternal. We find our peace, we find our comfort in the fact that He rules over all. Second, the tumult and struggle of this world are no threat to His reign. The world rages. Things change. People rise to power. Governments come and go. But He remains. Look at verses 3 and 4. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their roaring. What is all that about? It speaks of the struggling, surging, pounding, changing character of the world. And that's spoken of just after saying that God is stable, eternal, fixed, settled. In contrast to that is the world that is always shifting and roaring. You've got to read these verses in light of other Old Testament texts, such as Isaiah 17 and verse 12. Ah, the thunder of many nations. They thunder like the thundering of the sea. Ah, the roar of nations. They roar like the roaring of mighty waters. The nations roar like the roaring of many waters. Or Jeremiah 6. And verse 23, they lay hold on bow and javelin. They are cruel and have no mercy. The sound of them is like the roaring sea. They ride on horses set in array as a man for battle against you, O daughter of Zion. And Jeremiah 50:42 saying the same thing. The nations roar, but God is settled and sovereign and in control. The point is, God is involved in all of His creation. He sustains and controls it moment by moment. He's never an absent landlord. He is always present and He is always in charge. That's why we don't believe in luck. We believe in providence. We believe that God is at work everywhere around us all the time. Sometimes He's working through ordinary means, but other times by extraordinary means. Either way, it is the orderly working of our sovereign God. But now notice, these nations roar. These nations are dressed and ready for battle. They're astride their war horse and they're ready for everything. But notice verse 4. Mightier than the thunder of many waters, mightier than the waves of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. So what's the message? We're not concerned with the raging of the nations. We're not concerned with the exercising of power and authority by these petty little rulers around the earth, because God is mightier. Did you notice what he says in verse 4? Mightier than the thunders, mightier than the waves, the Lord, covenant name, Yahweh, the Lord on high is mighty. God is sovereign over every historical development. Every one of them. There's nothing that's happened that God has not allowed for His purpose and for His glory. As He rules. All of the cosmos is in His control. He put the stars in place. He keeps them where they're supposed to be. He keeps them within their boundaries. He's sovereign over the cosmos. And He's sovereign over every single individual on the face of the earth, whether peasant or king. Now that's hard for us sometimes, because it certainly doesn't seem that way. Because we see those who curse Him. We see those who stand violently opposed to Him and laugh and scoff. But guess who has the last laugh? Because He's never threatened by their roaring. It's just noise. And our peace and our comfort as the people of God is that regardless of what happens in this world, regardless of the saber rattling or the boasting, God is sovereign. And we're His. The last thing I want us to note is in verse 5. Truth and justice distinguish God's gracious reign. Your decrees are very trustworthy. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, forever. In other words, God's rule is a rule of law. His law. His decree. God rules His people by His word. It's how Christ rules over the church. And this rule by law, by the law of God, is the rule of justice. Human rule can be perverted by the whim of those in power. Human rule can be perverted by unjust laws. But that can never happen with the rule of God, because He's holy in all things. Holiness and truth and honor and justice mark everything our God does. So, the next time your world comes crashing down around you, and I said the next time, not if your world, it's going to happen. The next time your world comes crashing down around you, turn to Psalm 93 and take comfort in the sovereignty of God. Because He's sovereign over all. The tumult and struggle of this world doesn't change that. And His reign is one of truth and justice. Therein is our peace. Let the nations roar. The people of God find peace in His absolute sovereign control over all things.
You've been listening to the TBC Tulsa podcast, which features the preaching ministry of Pastor Rod Harris at Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.